Ralphie, please save us. John Ralph from the Herald Sun's got all the latest news in the world of footy on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, John.
Hello, gentlemen. I know I look old, but I was officially 18 months old in the 1980 Escort Cup, so I have a terrible memory. So that's zero on no on all counts.
Have you got the 1981 Hutton's footy book?
I don't, no, but I did start supporting the Tigers in 1982 when I was a four-year-old, and I thought it'll be a ride of the lifetime. And as it turned out, they didn't play finals for the next 30 years or barely played finals. So, look, that didn't start well, but it's fair to say it's ended well in the last 4 years.
Righto.
Yes,
that's went in pretty well. You're a very painful supporter for many years until the last 4 years, but you're enjoying the moment, which is fair enough too, Buzz. Hey, Buzz, there's a bit happening in the world of footy. Collingwood are one of the big stories going around, no doubt about that. Pete Ryan's got a story in the back page of the other paper today, The Age, about Jordan De Goey. Now, the Pies have used up all their other options for sparking him. Is trade whispers the only way they get the best out of Jordan De Goey?
It's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? I know we talk a lot about Collingwood, but to think that this is a team that played the semi-final and this, you know, extraordinary story of self-destruction. And so, you know, they sell papers, they do talk back calls, but they are fascinating. Look, we all knew that Jordan De Goey was the most overrated player in the game. It turns out that Collingwood does as well. I mean, that was a great story by Pete Ryan. And the fact that that story has come out, I think, shows that they just they've got no other options left, as you say, to spark him up. You know, you try the whispering in his ear. You try the, you know, coach takes him for a walk of Princess Park or anywhere else, you know, the Lexus Centre. You try the players quietly saying to him, hey, mate, we need a little bit more from you. You try the captain saying that in himself. And then you allow that story to come out into the media where Collingwood sources are prepared to say, yeah, absolutely, they've put a bum under Jordan De Goey. You know, I've talked about a range of players who might be traded for them to get, you know, not only draft points in, to be able to get multiple picks. Jordan's the most dangerous qualification in the game. He's that pre-agent. And so, you know, I've always thought, well, you can't trade him because you just use your entire, you know, list management strategy to keep him. But what happens if he just keeps playing, you know, this mediocre football by the end of next year? You know, they finish, I don't know, let's call it eighth next year. And he walks out as a free agent because we all know that he's, you know, quartered himself around. We all know that he loves the cash. And they get, I don't know, pick 12 or 13 for Jordan De Goey after 8 years of pretty much minimal output. The only club that I thought made sense was if with GWS, who wasn't able to bring in senior players last year, who has got a lot of kids, you know, who would think to themselves, gee, you bring him in with another reformation project, you know, and Jesse Hogan, you get to play him alongside Toby Green. You know, they've already got Collingwood's first-round pick. You know, could they get it back? Yeah, who would have thought that we would ever be getting to a situation to say that Jordan De Goey is just never going to be any good? But I mean, the fact that they are putting that story out there, oh, that is desperation stuff from the Collingwood Football Club.
Well, it's interesting, Ralphie, because I must confess, when I read that story from Peter Ryan, I was like, whoa, that's not good if that story is getting out. Now, Taylor Adams has come out quite strongly on social media and saying that it's not true, that it, I think he used the word garbage, and Taylor is obviously the vice-captain of the football club and part of the leadership group, but that story doesn't get written if there is talk.
Correct.
Internally. So that's a concern.
Yeah, and they're shades of grey, aren't they? You know, where, you know, the senior players, you know, encouraged him quite strongly. You know, didn't throw him out of the boat, said we're in it as well. But clearly there are journalists and there are journalists. I think we all know Pete Ryan's reputation in that, you know, he can be not cautious at times. Pete Ryan only writes a story if he's got multiple sources, if he's absolutely 100% true, which he's not throwing stuff out on Twitter that doesn't turn out to be true. So there's always shades of grey in that stuff. And I suppose the thing would be, if the Collingwood leaders are not actually telling Jordan De Goey to pull his head in or to, you know, lift his output, well, what are they doing as Collingwood leaders? So I'm sure there is some aspect of them telling him to lift. It's just the fact that the story got out, which to me was so significant.
Well, they've put a lot of eggs in the basket of Jordan De Goey because they could have traded him or not re-signed him and sort of kept the money for an Adam Treloar or that sort of thing, but they decided that De Goey was going to be more important to their future. So, you know, it's in their best interest now that they've really got to get the best out of Jordan because they've invested in him.
Yeah, I spoke to a premiership coach yesterday about talking about other issues, and he said, you know what, how did they stuff this up so badly? He said Adam Treloar would be their best player right now. And I know Jaden Stevenson would not be number two, but he's everything they need in terms of that offensive output, you know, the pace, the versatility. You know, we talked earlier on in the season about them effectively giving up on him. And as he said, yeah, he's gone to North Melbourne. He was half a rat bag for a season, but that's all it was. So, all the eggs in the Jordan Ngoi basket. And you think, what if he didn't repay them? What if he didn't stick fat at the end of next year and said, no, I'm a free agent. I'll go and get 5 years at $1.2 million at a club that's absolutely desperate for me. And I walk out having given Collingwood a lot of heartburn and very little offensive output.
The Pies are always a talking point. And you've got a story in today's paper about Ross Lyon, Buzz, and he's rocketed. What have you said? He rocketed back into calculation as a coach of the future, and perhaps maybe somewhere near that black and white army should not go the way it wants for Nathan Buckley.
Well, the fact that he's declared himself, and I think that's what he's done, even though he's got some caveats there and got some hesitation about it. The fact he's declared himself, I think, means that Graham Wright and Mark Anderson and Mark Corder have to go and meet him, have to go and say, pitch us your plan for the Collingwood Football Club. Now, Nick Riewoldt said it would need to be a compulsive offer. Now, you keep thinking about the offer that Collingwood made to that superstar all those years back with on the back of the napkin there in Malcolm Blight. But I'd love to get your guys' opinion on it. For me, I think he's a bloke who, we all know the bounce of the ball went against him against St Kilda, playing with St Kilda. We all know that 2013 grand final. So I looked back at it last night. They kicked 8-14 to 11-11 against Hawthorn. They were something like 16 points down, and they kicked four behinds to win the game. Look, I love Ross Lyon because he's just great media talent. You know, telling Kevin Butler to pull his head in as a minnow of the media when, you know, Kevin said to him, your football style is unwatchable. I think there's probably clubs that would say, look, you know, we're in a seven-year rebuild. We want to be offensive. We want to actually, you know, a bit excite while we're winning games of football. But if I'm Collingwood, or I'm a Collingwood fan, I'm saying, I don't care how we do it. I just want to win the flag, and I want to do it in the quickest amount of time possible. And look, I think Rossy Lyon was on track to rebuild Fremantle before he was sacked. We know the reasons why. I still think he's the big fish out there if Collingwood is considering Nathan Buckley.
Well, I think from my perspective, Ralphie, he clearly is the big fish that is out there, but clubs would want to make sure that he actually does want to do it. Because I think, you know, even if you go all the way back to 2001 with Malcolm Blight, he had to be convinced to come out of essentially retirement to do it. And the only way that was going to happen is just to throw as much money at him as possible. And that turned out to be a disaster. So I think there's two parts to it. There's having someone of his calibre available. I'm sure that a number of clubs would want him, but they'd want him in the right headspace that he's doing it not for the money, he's doing it because he wants to coach again.
Yeah, and his caveats on radio were that, you know, I'd need some senior assistants around me, I'd need some blokes with some offensive drive. And look, you know, you always feel terrible talking about clean-outs of football clubs, but, you know, if Nathan was to go, you know, you'd probably think that Brenton Sanderson and Robert Harvey would move with him. And the reason you feel like you can talk about it is because those blokes would be snapped up elsewhere in a heartbeat. You know, Robert Harvey was the last player, last coach beaten for North Melbourne. And so, you know, I know he's not saying right now, I'm desperate to do it. I want to do it. I must do it. But I feel like if we're in round 7 and he's opening the door, you know, you feel like by round 17, that door will be well ajar. You just think about Nathan Buckley. He just needs wins. You know, he's going to be by round 17. If they want to recontract him by then, he's going to be that Monty Python-esque knight, isn't he? He's going to have nothing left. You know, just a flesh wound. And yet they'll be thinking to themselves, no one's coming to watch us. There's no spark about us. And our membership base has turned against him. So, look, I thought Robbo and Jared made a really good point on the footy shows last night. If you're going to extend Nathan, if you believe in your heart that we need to extend Nathan, you do it now, because by round 17, I think it'll be too late.
What about the contract of Sam Walsh from the Blues? What's his status? Because he's becoming a very, very important player, Buzz.
Yeah, he's got one more year. So, you know, you think whenever it's his time, well, his management there at Phoenix will get him the 5 or 6 year deal at 1.2. Look, I know we make all these crazy comparisons in football, and sometimes, you know, they're just clickbait. Sometimes you just do it to be outrageous. But, like, if you want to add up the equation that he has with Chris Judd, you're not going to be too far short by the end of his career. He's played every one of the 46 games available to him in his career. He's got the hardness. He's got the composure. He's got the inside-outside game. He didn't have the goal kicking. You know, we saw Chris Judd with those amazing 5 goals up at the Gabba, but he's adding that, you know, the check side that we saw against Essendon. he hasn't got the pizzazz. Remember when Jaddy told one of the Selwood boys, I've got my shoulder strapped because I've been, you know, carrying you blokes for my whole career? So he hasn't got that. He hasn't got the media game. I don't think we'll ever see him on the new incarnation of the Footy Show. But, I mean, he's a complete package, isn't he?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Ralphie, Chris Judd wasn't a great kick. Sam Walsh is a great kick.
He's becoming a great kick, isn't he? Yeah, I think even in his first year with Walsh, you know, he's probably too exhausted, but he wasn't pinpointing, you know, he wasn't kicking the long goals. He's creative now. You know, he's that running beast that allows him to get into good spots to be offensive with his kicks.
He's certainly carrying a lot of the burden there at the Blues at the moment, no doubt, Sam Walsh, along with Big Harry up forward and the key pillars down back. They're the three lines of defence, I suppose, for the Blues. We'll see how it all unfolds. Buzz, great to catch up with you as always. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.